Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, and we are fortunate to have him join us every Monday at noon. Guy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be with you, and congratulations on a successful fundraiser for Delgado at the Roast Norman event.
Well, thank you so much for participating as well. We truly appreciate it. We had a lot of fun, but I'm glad it's behind me. I'll leave it at that. But the most asked question, Guy, is when you go on, you take a day off on a Monday, and people, where's Guy? Well, Guy's back, folks, we're glad to say. And there's been a lot of news, Guy, since the last time you and I talked. We have had Liberation Day with the implementation of tariffs. And if we could start out this morning, let's kind of try to make it a little bit like a tutorial about tariffs, so that there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'd like to try and clear some of that up. So let's just start off with tariffs and who pays them.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion because we talk about tariffs on Mexico, tariffs on the EU, tariffs on China. A tariff is simply a fee that is charged when an item is imported. So if you decide that you're buying a beautiful watch from Switzerland and it costs $1,000 and the tariff goes up to 20%, 30%, now there's an additional fee that either the exporter or the importer is going to have to pay. So either the seller or the buyer will pay the fee. The government of Switzerland does not pay the fee on watches. Either the person selling the watch absorbs the fee if they want to keep the price the same, or the buyer pays the fee. And it really varies on a case-by-case basis. One of the simple examples that we can all understand is Parmesan cheese, a special cheese made in Italy, special way, special taste. The manufacturers say, we want to get, let's just say $10 a pound for our cheese, and we really don't care what the tariff is. So if the tariff is 20 or 30%, then the price is going to be higher. And whoever buys it, whether it's Dorgnax or Zapardo's, is going to pay 30% more for that cheese. And then the ultimate consumer, which is you and me when we go to the grocery store wanting to make a dish, will pay 30% more. So for some dishes and some items, if it's something that you want, something that the seller has control over, you'll end up paying more. So it actually ends up being a higher fee. And the purchaser is the one who pays the tariff. The person who buys a car, the person who buys food, ultimately pays the tariff. Now, there are a few occasions where there's a tremendous profit margin and the seller says, you know, we want to keep the price in the U.S. the same. We're making a lot of money, and so we're going to absorb the tariff. But the challenge is most people don't have the profit margin to absorb the tariff. So it has to be passed on to the buyer. So ultimately, it's not, you're not paying the government of China, and we're not tariffing the government of China. The tariff is actually paid by the consumer, and it's paid to whoever is selling the good. And so it really reflects in the retail price, which is one of the things that people are very concerned about.
So when we have the reciprocal tariff that on our goods that go to, let's say, China or Japan, and they raise their tariffs, it same thing happens in reverse.
Exactly. So now the person in Japan that's buying U.S. soybeans, the price per bushel goes up, and the grocery store or the feedlot in Japan pays more. And so there's a higher fee. Now, the challenge, of course, is if there are alternatives and substitutes, then that foreign buyer is going to say, I'm going to buy soybeans from Brazil. I'm going to buy them from somewhere else if there's a reciprocal tariff. And I think there's a lot of confusion about reciprocal tariffs. And the formula looks sophisticated, looks fancy, but the formula that was used to set what are called reciprocal tariffs is really the trade deficit divided by imports from that country times one half. So when you see the chart where you have allegedly the tariff charged to the U.S. and then the U.S. discounted tariff, that's not really the tariff that's charged to the U.S. The fine print below that says it also includes currency manipulation, trade barriers. But what the formula really does is it just looks at the balance of trade between the two countries. So the tariff that we ended up with, what we're calling reciprocal tariffs, is not related to the tariff that we're being charged. It's simply the result of a formula that looks at the balance of payments between us and the foreign country.
So let's go back to the tariff on imports. We keep hearing our government's going to get rich. We got all of these tariffs. We've heard people say that the tariff is synonymous with a tax. I've got a number of tax people asking, what does all of that mean?
Yeah, it's a little bit of trying to have it both ways. One of the things that happens when you have a high tariff is people buy less. And it doesn't matter what it is. If the price goes up, people consume less of it. You know, I was at DoorDash over the weekend looking at avocados, and I'm looking at a price of $2.79. I said, oh, my goodness. You know, what are we going to do for Cinco de Mayo? Now, it's not the biggest problem in the world, but if avocados are expensive, you might buy fewer avocados. And so if tariffs are high and people buy less, then the U.S. is not going to collect any revenue. It's not going to be a big revenue. The only way it's a big revenue generator is if folks ignore the higher prices and buy the stuff anyway. And for a lot of products, that's just unlikely because there are substitutes. And that gets into the challenge of
let me stop you there, because what a lot of folks are saying and what people are believing is that this tariff that is paid on imports, it sounds like it's paid to the government. True or not?
The government is the one that ultimately receives the check, but you're not paying a tariff to China, and China's not paying a tariff to U.S. The importer is the one who pays it and then forwards it on to the government. But it's ultimately paid by whoever buys the product. So the buyer pays the tariff.
So in the transaction, at some point, there is money paid to the government on that tariff. And the question is, who ultimately pays it? Because it increases the price. And once it goes to the consumer end up paying the amount, which equals the amount that was typically paid to the government. If it passes through the entire transaction, nobody takes a piece. If it passes through, the government gets money, and the consumer basically ends up paying more to the distributor of that product that was imported.
Yeah, let's use a simple example that came up over the weekend. Ferrari was asked, what are they going to do about this? And Ferrari said, look, if we expect to get $1 million for our Ferraris, that's what we're going to get. That's going to be our net price. If the U.S. imposes a tariff of 25% on our Ferraris, that's $1,250,000. The buyer in the U.S. will pay $1,250,000. $250,000 will go to the U.S. government. $1 million will go to Ferrari, and the buyer, whoever it is in America that's rich enough to own a Ferrari, just paid $250,000 more. So in a case like that where the seller has leverage, you can't get a Ferrari made in Mississippi. They're only right. made in Italy. So if you don't go to Italy, you're not getting a Ferrari. And Ferrari says, tough luck. Same thing with the Parmesan cheese. You can't get that anywhere else. So the buyer, in that case, pays the price. Sometimes the seller has a good profit margin. You have lots of options. You know, maybe a commodity. And the seller has to absorb some of that price. But ultimately, it's a negotiation between the seller and the buyer. And then the government is the one in the middle that ultimately gets the whatever the tariff is.
So when we think about our economic policy here, the next logical question is there a case to be made against tariffs?
Oh, yeah, there's a strong case against, and there's also a case for. So start with the case against. The case against is the reason you buy something from overseas is that it's cheaper, it's not available in the U.S., or it's in better quality. So you're buying it for a reason. And if you can't buy it from overseas, that means that you don't have access to a cheaper product or an unavailable product or a rare product. And so you'll have to either find a substitute or you'll have to pay more here. And the argument is it's better for each country to do what they're good at. And I'm getting back to our Ferrari example. They make supercars. That's fabulous. We just don't make supercars in America. They're really good at it. It makes more sense to let them do what they're good at and let us make the pickup trucks and other things that we're good at because we're more efficient doing what works. And so the idea is that global trade results in greater global efficiency. Each country does what they're good at. You have centers of excellence, and the consumer ultimately benefits. So the argument is by letting everybody do what they're good at, capital's allocated well, the economies work well, they're interconnected, which leads to less tension between countries because you have a good reason to stay friends with the different countries that are supplying things and that you're supplying things too. So it improves standard of living. And in this century, our standard of livings globally have gone up significantly. So that would tend to support the pro-tariff argument. I mean, the anti-tariff and the free trade argument.
Let me ask you this. I was reading a piece posted by an economist the other day, and it was kind of an interesting viewpoint. And he says, and I quote, much of the extraordinary performance of U.S. assets in recent years has been fueled by vast exports of European and Asian capital, meaning that Europeans and Asians have invested in the United States. What happens when we enter into this trade war, this tariff war? I got to imagine they're less likely to invest. And I know that some of these foreign countries own some of our debt. I don't know to what extent. But I can't imagine that makes them any feeling warmer and fuzzier feeling about the U.S.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. One of the things that people overlook is when they look at trade deficits, the thought is a trade deficit is inherently bad. for almost the entire history of the United States, we've had trade deficits, meaning we're importing more than we export. But if you're a growing country, if you're building your country, if you're building your different resources, infrastructure, et cetera, you tend to import more than you export. The last time we exported more than we imported was during the Great Depression. So, you know, economic success and trade balances don't go together. Now, there are countries that have an export-driven economy, and they make that work. But one of the geniuses of the American economy was picking up expertise from around the world where people think this is a stable country, it's a safe place to invest, my factory is going to be safe, my intellectual property is safe. So we tend to get the best and brightest from around the world coming to the U.S., and that gives us a productivity advantage over the rest of the world. And to the extent we diminish that, we hurt our competitiveness. One of our big advantages over Europe for the past 20 or 30 years has been that influx of skilled immigrants, the influx of capital that you talked about, where people are investing here because it's a safe, reliable place to be.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Now, so let's get to a break, and when we come back, we've articulated the case against tariffs. Let's talk about the case for tariffs when we return. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Stay with us.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We've been talking about tariffs. We first discussed who pays tariffs, and we made the case against tariffs, and now the case for tariffs, Guy.
Yeah, and in fairness to both sides, this one's a little complex, but it's always good to think through, okay, why are people doing what they do? So in the United States, politicians live on a 2- and 4-year cycle because every 2 years we have congressional elections, every 4 years presidential. President Trump, of course, is term limited, so he's in the middle of his second term. Congress is a very thin margin, particularly in the House. So there's less than 2 years to go before the House elections. But we also have an economic challenge going on right now. We have $9.2 trillion of U.S. debt that has to be refinanced this year. When we talk about refinancing mortgages, imagine you had a balloon mortgage of $9.2 trillion. $6.5 trillion has to be refinanced before June. Chairman Powell has said he's not going to reduce interest rates till inflation drops, and it hasn't dropped yet. So how do you get interest rates down in order to refinance this debt when the inflation is still high? One way is to create tremendous economic uncertainty, and the tariffs have certainly done that. And they've also achieved the goal of reducing interest rates. If you look back 2 or 3 weeks ago, 10-year Treasury yields were 4.37. Now they're 4.01. That's 36 basis points. The shorter Treasury, the 5-year Treasury, was 4.03. Now it's 3.7. So 33 basis point drop. This is important because every basis point saves $1 billion a year. So if it's 33 basis points, you're saving $33 billion a year on your refinancing. So one thought is, since you can't get the Fed to reduce rates, you create market turmoil, you do it while you have the ability to do it, and this makes that refinancing a lot easier because yields have dropped significantly. The second thing is, you know, while you have this thin majority, go ahead and do spending cuts. And a lot of people have talked about the Doge Commission and the cuts to the government, and are they rational or irrational? The thought is, if we cut now, we give ourselves more room in terms of financing future deficits because there'll be less spending. And then the last part is, if we do the tariffs, we'll ignite local construction of factories, of plants, as people reshore. And we need to do it right this minute because in less than 2 years, elections will come up. So the rationale on that side, on the pro-tariff side, is it'll reduce funding costs for the government. It'll, combined with spending cuts, will reduce pressure on the Treasury. And then finally, it will ignite some local construction. And if you're on the Team R side, you're thinking, if that happens quickly when elections come up, then people will begin to see progress and they will forget the pain and, you know, hopefully we'll get reelected. And I don't say we, as I'm not picking sides on that. I'm saying Team R is saying they're hoping then that voters will put them back into power and they'll maintain that thin majority in the House. If it doesn't work, once you lose the House majority, then a lot of these things are off the table. The other challenge that the president faces is he's operating under three different authorities. You often wonder, how can the president do this? There's an International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and it allows the president to declare an economic emergency and implement tariffs at whatever level he wants. But it is subject to review. There have, of course, been lawsuits. So the question is going to be, is there an international and economic emergency, and are the tariffs appropriate? We don't know yet. The Supreme Court hasn't opined. But there are two other laws. Section 122 applies to uneven balance of payments. And the reciprocal tariffs really seem to be tied into uneven balance of payments. In under that section, he can increase tariffs by 15%, but only for 150 days without congressional approval. So when you look at that base 10, it almost is as if he thinks, well, if I lose the first, I'll be able to hold on to base 10 And then after 150 days, Congress will probably approve it going forward. And then the last section is unreasonable policy. And that's section 338. He can declare tariffs up to 50%, but the burden of proof is on the president to prove that the other country had an unreasonable policy. So I know that's a lot of information, but the idea, at least on the pro-tariff side, is it'll help us refinance the debt. Combined with spending cuts, will take pressure off the Treasury, and it'll ignite enough local construction that by the time elections roll around, the voters will be happy with what's going on.
So let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because these are things I just simply can't get my head around. I've heard what you've just described, right? And I've heard that, you know, the government's going to make a lot of money. In fact, it may help finance the tax cuts that President Trump is thinking about, the reimplementation or the extension of the 2017 tax package. Just yesterday, they said that the U.S. Trade Representative said that 50 countries have reached out and have come to the table and are beginning negotiation. Well, if these tariffs are so integral to what you described and so integral to the government replacing lost revenue and so forth, it would seem to me that there are people inside the Trump camp that want this to go on for a much longer period of time, right? And
there,
you know, we're faced, let me just add this one additional component, which I thought was an interesting observation made by someone, by an economist, that the EU, and we've talked about this many, many years ago, you and I, the VAT tax, the value-added tax in the EU, which is about 20%, and it applies to not only domestically produced goods in the EU, but also to imported goods. So it's not a tariff. But it looks like a tariff, it smells like a tariff, and it walks like a tariff, right? And, you know, it seems to me a lot of those things are trade barriers and that they have to go away as well. But it kind of makes a case for elongation of this, not for it to be a short-term thing. Thoughts?
Yeah, it raises a lot of complex issues. First, the administration is not united in how long the tariffs will last. Over the weekend, Howard Lutnick, who's the Commerce Secretary, said, you know, that these tariffs could be around for days or weeks. Well, that's a heck of a lot shorter than the president, who has said, you know, I'm not going to change my mind, period. If we get back to the case for tariffs, the administration case for tariffs, if you have to refinance $6.5 trillion by June, then tariffs that only last a couple of months could take care of that. You know, interest rates are down. In a couple of months, you negotiate deals with other countries, and then you say, okay, the battle's won. We go back to better global trade. So it's entirely possible that these tariffs aren't intended to last. It's also possible that in the back of their minds, a lot of folks are thinking in the administration, we're not going to win these legal cases. We can keep them for a short while, but not forever. And getting back to the balancing it, using it to balance the deficit, neither side is innocent in this game of flim-flam on deficits. The only way it helps you balance the budget is if American consumers say, you know what, we don't care. Prices are going up. Minimum of 10%, maybe 25%, maybe 30%. We're going to buy foreign stuff anyway. And we have enough disposable extra income that we're going to absorb that cost. That's the only way the Treasury gets enough money to balance the deficit and to reduce. That actually doesn't balance it. It reduces. That really doesn't pass the logic test. You know, a certain number of very rich consumers, back to our Ferraris, they're going to buy a Ferrari if they want one. They're going to buy an expensive Swiss watch if they want one. But normal folks that live within a budget have to make decisions. And I think they're going to make decisions based upon price. So it's hard to say that the tariffs are going to generate tremendous revenue to the Treasury when most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck and are having to make choices. So I think the administration probably believes the tariffs aren't going to last that long. And my hope is that maybe that's the case. Maybe in 3 or 4 months, we make deals with the Europeans and we say, look, you don't charge us any tariffs. We won't charge you any. And you mentioned the VAT tax. The VAT is effectively a sales tax. It's how Europe funds their social welfare system. But if you're going to consider sales tax, we have effectively a 10% sales tax on things in Louisiana. So, you know, we're not innocent either. And every state has some sort of sales tax. So, you know, when you consider a VAT equivalent to a sales tax.
But we don't charge it on imported goods, right? It's a point of sale transaction. And so manufacturers to wholesalers, not taxed. Wholesalers to retailers, not taxed. It's only taxed at retailers to consumers.
Yeah, it's taxed at the ultimate point of consumption.
Mm-hmm. Which is different from the VAT tax because they charge that on imported goods.
They do, but if you're the consumer, it's hard to see the difference because when you buy the
But, I mean, I guess the point I'm making is I can't square all of this up as to what the Trump administration is saying, just in duration being one. And then if you don't let me ask the question this way. What happens in a tariff-free world? No tariffs. Let's say Trump works it out with every country in the next 2 weeks, and come June 1, tariffs are gone. What does that mean?
Well, it would mean lower prices for everybody because Europeans have some barriers and some things they don't import from the U.S. They would get cheaper commodities. And same thing for the U.S. We would get cheaper, you know, fruits and vegetables from Mexico, cheaper autos and steel imported. And in the ultimate economic reality, every country would do what they're good at and in theory would be more efficient. So if you had no tariff barriers, the economic theory is that everybody ultimately ends up better off. Now, is that actually the case?
We would have to right-size production, though, right? Because we couldn't, I mean, the farmers couldn't make it. We would have to give them enormous, probably 10x of what we're giving them now.
Well, actually, right? The farmers may be the biggest beneficiary because Europe prevents a lot of imports of American goods, and they use different things, no GMOs, no non-organic, because they want to protect their farm industry. So the Europeans' consumers would love to buy cheap American grain. You know, so would the Chinese consumers and the Japanese would love to buy rice from the U.S. So our agriculture is very efficient on a global scale. And if there were really no tariffs, I think we'd be able to sell and compete with anybody because we have highly efficient American agriculture compared to the rest of the world.
But the manner in which we farm with insecticides and the use of antibiotics and the way that we treat some of our stuff, they don't allow that in a lot of these countries. So how would they finance this change in their farming procedures of going, you know, to an organic environment or otherwise? In the interim, I guess it's going to be the U.S. government, right?
Well, what the argument would be in a no-tariff situation, you eliminate the non-tariff barriers as well. So you allow the American crops.
But we know
in.
That's not that. But I'm completely skeptical that that's going to happen. I mean that's a cultural change in Europe. Even myself, as an American that has visited there, said this tastes better. It's a better product, right?
I mean, some of it does. I mean, there are some European products, the French butter and the Irish butter. But, and you're right to be skeptical because there are some countries that have severe food shortages. and they won't allow genetically modified grain. And you can't tell the difference in taste or health on that. It just,
right,
culturally, they just don't want to do it. So you're right. It's hard to, you can't change minds on some of these things. So some of the non-tariff barriers are likely to remain.
So I just, you know, it's wondering how what happens then. And obviously the government doesn't get all the money any longer. I guess trade balances are reduced, I would imagine. But that doesn't give them the financing to do what they've talked about, what they need these tariffs for. I mean, how do they modify that position? Where does that go? Just the thought that we would move more product?
And that is the challenge. I mean, the idea that tariffs are going to generate a lot of revenue presumes that people are going to absorb much higher prices and buy a lot of stuff at a higher price. And all the evidence suggests the opposite, which is that people will buy less of whatever it is because it just costs too much. You know, when we increased the washing machine tariffs, you know, in the first administration, people kept their old washing machines longer because the prices went up about 12%. And what happened is European washing machines were more expensive. American manufacturers raised their prices, not quite as much as the tariff, but about a 12% increase. And people reacted, as you would expect, by holding on, repairing, and not buying. So it's tough to make money on tariffs. You can keep things out pretty easily with a tariff, but it's hard to raise a lot of revenue.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with
us. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, all things considered today, how much should we fear whether we go into a recession or not?
Boy, no, that is a fabulous question. And the reason I say that is you really get a lot of conflicting opinions. BlackRock says we're in a recession right now. Bank of America says there's about a 60% chance. J.P. Morgan says 40. But if you look at that 40 and those 60, put those together, it's about a 50% chance. What they're really saying is flip a coin in the air. We don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. The evidence against is in March, the jobs numbers were fabulous. 288,000 employed, expected to be 130. So significant hiring in March. The people that are pro-recession are saying that what's going to happen is that businesses will sit on their hands and wait until they have some certainty, and that will ultimately filter into a slower economy. The people that see the jobs numbers say, well, as long as people are getting hired, the economy is going to keep growing, and we are the strongest economy on earth. We'll probably muddle through this and not have a recession. So I guess the banks are saying flip a coin, could be either way. BlackRock is very negative. I'm somewhat optimistic. I think we're going to work through this. I hope Howard Lutnick from Commerce is right that the tariffs get resolved in days or weeks, because that would really help the market and also help our domestic economy once you have certainty, because that's what businesses hate is uncertainty and not knowing what's what.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. In your opinion, market overreaction or no?
No, because the economic historians will tell you that the Great Depression was set off by tariffs, Smoot-Hawley tariffs that were actually lower than the ones we've imposed. So to the extent that tariffs, counter-tariffs, and global uncertainty cause a recession, depression, you know, there is a reason to be afraid. The other thing is the market was priced for perfection. I mean, it absolutely boomed and was approaching new highs constantly. The P.E. ratio was high. So it was due for a correction, and a correction is about 10%, which we're there. So I don't think it's an overreaction. If it drops, you know, 20 or 30%, then you begin to say, okay, either we're in deep trouble or this is a great buying opportunity. Right now, I think it's a return to reality with about a 10% drop.
Well, we will know, I think, in the coming days. I say 50 countries have already started to negotiate, so it will be interesting to see. As always, Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Truly appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back. We'll see what Scoot has coming your way. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about the Chicago concert Friday night in Biloxi. That was really cool. And I at Lakeside on Saturday, guess what I ran into? I ran into a furry, a real live furry walking around as a wolf. And I asked a few questions, took a picture, posted it on my Facebook page, got a lot of reactions. So we'll talk about the legislation banning furries coming up.
All righty. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Monday.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.